I'm recording, by the way.
Oh, sorry. After show. My light keeps going out, even though it's plugged in.
Oh, I see. Well, I was going to start today, actually, the way that we usually end the show, by thanking our Patreon supporters.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, just to give them a little extra thank you, because we are very grateful for the support that we get through Patreon. Every time we start recording, before we start, I do a huge amount of work that you two don't have to do. I'm just kidding. I open up Patreon and I look at the list of people. And I always, you know, I create the list of people that support us at certain tiers to put in the show notes. So their names are listed in the show notes. So I see these same names every week that we do this. And it's just awesome because I almost don't have to go look them up because that list rarely changes. These people have been supporting us for a long time. So I just wanted to say thank you to all of them. But the top supporters, the people that do that consistently above and beyond, are Nick Ryan, Corey Ward, Albers Woodworks, Works by Solo, Chad from Mancrafting, Chad's Custom Creations, Rich at Low End Design, Odin Leathergood, Sean Beckner, Scott at Dad It Yourself DIY, Jeff at the New Janky Workshop, Warren Works, Michael Menegin, and Crabtree Creative.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you to all of them, but also people like Mr. Wood Hoarder, also one of our supporters. And everybody gets the after show. I don't know what we're talking about today. Maybe we'll come up with something. But usually it's just a separate discussion on a separate podcast feed that only people on Patreon get. So if you want that, go to patreon.com/makingit. Support us at any level. Help the show out. Get more content. Done. What are you doing,
Jimmy? What's your pick of the week?
You look like you're about to like make a joke.
No. I'm fiddling. My light keeps going off because I realized I yanked the plug, and so the USB is slightly out of its holder. Oh. So that's why the light, every time I turn the light on, it gets a little reinvigorated with its own power, and then it's like, oh, I'm still not ready to go on.
Yeah, I want to go to bed.
Yeah, it's like, I can't do it. I can't go on without me. And then the light goes off, and I was frustrated just as we started. That's why I cursed a couple times. But now it's plugged in. We're set. We're good. Because I realize that I do this. I got to. Technology sometimes is so hard. I'll grab this cord and it's plugged deep underneath this table beside me. And I'll tug on it just slightly, but I'll plug my second phone into it. And then when I need that second phone, I go, oh, let me go get my second phone. And I pick it up and it's zero because I tugged on this USB cable just enough to make it not geek up. And I'm too impatient to look at to see if the lightning bolt shows up. I do that 5 times a day. I plug my phone in and just walk away, come back, and it's got 1%. Because I never check for the lightning bolt. That's the key to this modern life. Check for the lightning bolt.
MagSafe chargers, inductive chargers. It's like a little pad. It's a little pad that you plug in, and then you just lay your phone on it. And if you put a couple of those around, you and your leather case thing.
It doesn't work for me. That's why I made this one loose, because I thought I was going to put the thing behind it every time.
Yeah.
Which now I have no idea where it is. It's lost in the junk drawer. The cable with the hockey puck on the end.
Well, I guess you're just on your own then.
I am. I just got to look for the lightning bolt. That's it. I got to be more lightning bolt diligent.
Look for the lightning bolt. Kind of sounds like a t-shirt. Like you're looking for that moment of inspiration.
Yeah.
There you go. Shop rule. There's a t-shirt you should make.
Yeah. Podcast name in the first 30 seconds.
That has absolutely nothing to do with what we're going to talk about. Speaking of, how are you guys doing?
I'm good. I just delivered that. I showed it on Instagram only for a second, but I might have been talking about it here. It's this Johnny Walker pull behind a golf cart liquor dispensing unit. It's just it's like a little showpiece for a golf game somewhere in the world. And it got picked up the other day, and it's out of my life, and it's done. And it's nice. It's nice that it's gone. Check that off the list.
How many? You've got tons of stuff like that where just in the 35 years that I've known you, you've had like, I spent the last 6 months building this, you know, this trailer and the this thing. And then all of a sudden, after all this time, it's just out of your life. And I remember several instances of you being like, I'm done with that thing. Finally. And then
the best thing
usually is followed up with a, I'm never going to do that again. And then you do.
Well, this one was easy. This was tiny. It was just, I showed it on Instagram, but I did several stories on my Patreon on it where I'm talking about the details and the struggles of certain parts of it. I do these 1 minute stories. I don't think you can on Patreon do these consecutive stories like you do on Instagram. You just put up a video. So I do these 1 minute videos updating a project. And so there's several on this particular one. And there will be a video on it. Eventually, I got all the content. I made a cart on top of, it's like one of the cheapest available at Harbor Freight. It's 4x4 cart. I cut one of the widths down a little bit skinnier. So I buy the cart, modify it, and then on top of it, it's almost very similar to the one that I made a few months ago for myself from scratch. But this time I went out and bought it because really the project was what goes on top of it. And I made this little bar cart with a tap system that gets the pressure tank, and you have two tanks for liquor, or it could be beer or whatever you put in it. So I bought that whole system. And in the early pictures, it showed three or four taps of the early computer-generated images this company sent me. And so I bought two tap systems. I mentioned this, I think, recently. I bought two tap systems. Each tap system comes with two. So you could put two liquors, two taps. And so I bought two kits that would have given me four taps, and they said let's just do two, which was great because I really was running out of room. But I have the other kit, so I could put two taps into some type of unit so I could dispense drinking liquid. So I could make a bar somewhere, and I'm thinking about in the graveyard house when I get down to the kitchen, I might put beer taps or liquor taps, or I mean you could put anything in it. You could put orange juice or milk in it, and I'm thinking about doing that. So I'm going to save that kit till I get down to the kitchen design. So that's really cool because I never played with one of those systems before. And so I did install that. That went well. And sometimes it's nice. It's nice when you get this call. Hey, we're going to pick it up tomorrow. So I'm like, okay, I got all the time in the world to do it. But Wednesday was a busy day for me because the cart was going to get picked up, and then I had to go do this elementary school, do a printing demonstration for 154th graders, and that's why I wasn't able to connect yesterday with you guys. And that went really well, so I did that. But I got the phone call. The guy's like, hey, it's Tuesday. I can't get a hotel, because these guys drive all around the country. He says, I can't get a hotel in your area. Can I come pick the cart up in like 4 hours? Because he's just going to drive straight to me and then go to his next location. And I was like, let's do it. So I dropped everything I was doing, and I prepped the cart, got it ready. Got my beauty shots in. That's why I ended up putting on Instagram that day. Got my beauty shots all ready to go. And a couple hours later, I stretch wrapped it. And I told you guys before we started, I stretch wrapped my favorite knife right onto the top of it. So as soon as he drove away, I'm like, went to open an envelope. My knife is gone. And I texted him. I said, when you get to your location, let me know if you found that knife. Sure enough, like 6 hours later, he sent me a picture of him holding the knife. So that's annoying. I'll live. I got like four more in my.
I was gonna say, is he shipping it back to you, or is it just like he has a knife now?
He has to ship it back to me because of the sentimental value attached. It's the I bought four of them when I bought it, but it's the only one so far that I've been using.
Do you own this my one first of one, anything?
No.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No, I have to have two or three of everything. Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, so that's annoying. But on top of that, so what I'm doing, I did the school this week. Yesterday, I went and Rob Rojas's, an associate of Rob Rojas, teacher there, asked me if I would come in and talk to the fourth graders and do a printing demo. And I did a demo, and I printed a little card. A lot of big fans of making fun of the TV show. The kids are really cute. Everyone's asking me when there's a second season. I have to say, I don't know. Write to your local congressman and ask. And that went really well. The kids were really great. At the end, I let one of the classes, there's too many, I let one of the classes each go up one at a time and pull the printing lever on this small printing press I have. And it was really cute. One of the kids like did it, looked at it, and then just like hugged me. It was so cute. Like she was so excited that like she was able to use this machine to make the print. It was obviously just worth the whole day, just seeing the excitement in all these kids. I was getting a lot of kids. I did a Q&A, and like 15 of them said, where can I buy one of those machines? I said, Facebook Marketplace. Go buy an old one. I said, ask your parents to go on Facebook Marketplace, buy an old barn find. That's cool. And so this week's video that I'm working on now is footage from episode 6 of The Graveyard House. So I'm compiling that, and that'll be out this weekend. episode 6 of the Graveyard House Sunday Morning, where I do the framing of the back part. I talk to Ken, my stonemason guy, about the foundation, and we talk about what's next for the fireplace. So that's exciting. And then my buddy who lives here, he lives in my house. Some guys know who Ryan is. He doesn't like being on camera. He's never involved in anything. But Ryan is going to be helping me design the creative interior of the house. He's an architect. So he's going to do a full 3D rendering of the house. He already has it. He did it right away when we got the house. And so now he's going to put some interior walls as some conceptual ideas. And like we do fly-throughs of what it's going to look like and stuff. So cool. That's exciting. So there might be a couple of clips of the interior of the house in this weekend's video. Oh, and then also, I have to film this today with Patrick. We're going to just do a little quick walkthrough. This is going to be a jam-packed episode. We're going to do a walkthrough of the electrical and what the plans are for the electrical. Because we're going to upgrade it. And we're going to be working with a big electrical supply company to give us... They don't want their name announced yet until we're ready to do it. But we're going to do a very modern home accessory since we're starting from zero. We can pull everything out right now and it not be a problem because there's no walls or sheetrock. And the house is small, so it wouldn't take much to do the entire house, you know, in a few weeks. And so we're going to do that assessment today. Cool. Lot going on, but yeah. I told you guys before we started, I don't have like a full build video this week. So I said I have like nothing to do except like scrape bird poop off the porch and run the weed whacker around in the exterior edge of my house with the county mows anyway. Like, I don't even need to do it, but I'm just like killing time.
Yeah. Have you thought about watching a movie?
No, it's funny. Me and Rachel always go to watch movies, and I'm the one that stalls and stalls and fiddles and stalls. And then we start watching a movie at 11 o'clock, 11:10, I'm falling asleep. And she's like, that's it. All right, shut it down. And so she said to me, she's had a stressful week at work, and she says, can we like start a movie at like 9 sometime this weekend? Just like so we could watch the full thing to the end. I was like, okay.
That's funny.
And you're like, yeah, I can fall asleep at 9:10. Sure, no problem.
Yeah. It took That's us funny. About 15 tries to get through the last episode of Manhunt, that show about Abe Lincoln's assassination, which was a great series. It took us maybe like 6 attempts to get through the final episode, which is a great series if you guys haven't seen it yet. It's some real interesting historical facts. A lot of the reason we didn't get through it, beside me falling asleep every 20 minutes, was stopping to Google facts that they obviously present. You could tell the script goes a certain way for some reason or another, and I'm like, is this history or is this embellishment? Right away to the phone. Oh, that's somewhat historically accurate. Oh, that's somewhat historically accurate. So it's a great series, Manhunt. I think it's on Hulu, Apple Prime.
It's on my TV.
Hulu, Apple Prime, TV, Peacock.
Just subscribe to all of them.
Yeah. Maybe it's Apple. I think it's Apple.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's what I'm up to.
Well, if you have time, you should pull out the trumpet. Start learning trumpet again.
It's been a
long time since we've heard any trumpet from Jimmy.
Yeah, and I talked about Ryan, the architect, just now. Ryan's an extremely accomplished trumpet player, and he keeps telling me every time I play with it, and he hears it in the backyard, and we'll bass each other. And I never see him. He lives here. I never see him. And we'll bump into each other at 2 in the morning, and he'll say, I heard you playing with the trumpet. I got to teach you the scales to get you started. We've been saying that for 3 years. We haven't started it yet. Uh-huh. I got to hang it on my belt, so when I bump into him, he can show me.
You definitely should
make a little holster.
In general, yeah. Yeah, so yeah. My youngest is beginning band this next year. And so, you know, at the end of the school year, if you're going to start band the next year, you go and you try out all the instruments and you figure out which one you want to play. And then, you know, you have it ready for the beginning of the next school year. So he's been wanting to play trumpet for, I don't know, years, several years. And I played trumpet when I was in school. And so maybe 2 years ago, somebody sent us a message that said, my parents passed away and they owned a music store, and so I'm clearing everything out. I'm trying to get rid of stuff. And they heard us talking about instruments and everything. Anyway, I bought 2 trumpets from this gentleman, used trumpets that are in really good shape, but I got them really inexpensively. So I've been holding on. I got one for myself in case I ever want to play it again, because they were a good price. And then I got one for my son, and so I've just been holding on to it. So a couple weeks ago, or I guess a month ago now, we go to the school thing, and he's like, I want to play trumpet. I'm like, oh, that's cool, but you should try out some other instruments. Just, you know, give it a shot, because you might like another one better. So he goes, tries trumpet, nailed it, like totally got a good tone out of it. He's a natural. And then I got him to try trombone, which was hilarious because it's like twice as long as he is. It's just, it was really funny to watch.
Trombone is such a cool instrument.
It really is. He tried a few different things, and he did fine at all of them. He could have played any of them, but he got done. He was like, no, I want the trumpet. I'm like, cool, I have one for you at home. And he was like, what? And so we come home, and I pull it out of the closet, and I'm like, all right, just wanted to make sure. You know, so now we've got the trumpet. So you talked about playing in the backyard. The reason I'm bringing this up is because since then, I told him, like, if you want to start getting used to it and playing it, you need to take it outside. And so maybe once a week, he'll just like pick up his trumpet, walk out into the backyard, into our neighborhood with all of our other friends and neighbors and everything, and just like toot on this horn. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know any of the fingerings. He just honk, honk, and he just plays.
I'll send him a lesson.
Okay. Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah. I'll send a lesson to the chat later just so you can show it to him.
Okay. Anyway, he's really excited. Skills. Maybe you guys can do a duet. He's the one that dressed up like you that time.
I figured. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to really send you guys a lesson for real.
Awesome.
Do you ever see the guy on Instagram who plays the trombone? And his mother's disabled. The only reason I say that is just so you could recognize the clips if you see him with the sound off. And his mother is in like a power car, or like a power chair. And she like tools around and he does the sound effects of her, whatever she's doing.
He follows her around and makes sound effects, and it is so funny.
She has this deadpan,
like, look at the camera, like,
enough already.
Like, stop it. Come on, that's enough.
It's so funny. Like, you think, yeah. Like, oh, okay, I've seen 10 of these already. They're still funny.
Well, David, what have you been doing?
Speaking of music, I am making a little stand for my MIDI keyboard for making music. And so here at the desk, I have my keyboard underneath, and it is on drawer slides. So when I pull it out, I have it right here. And then when I don't need it, I push it back. But the thing is, my desk is at a height that is my knees hit the keyboard. And so I put really, really long drawer slides on here. And I have a really deep desk. It's like 32 inches. So I could push the keyboard all the way back, and then I have room for my knees. But the problem is, when I pull it out to play it, it's wobbly because the drawer slides are so long. It's not a comfortable way to play. So the simple solution is just to make a stand that is completely separate from my desk, but slides in my desk, and I just slide the whole stand out, and then I can slide the whole stand back.
Gotcha.
And I thought, well, I want to make it one continuous piece. So we're doing kerf bending on the two 90 degree corners. And then I thought, well, this would be really cool if it was a nesting bench. So there's going to be three of them, and they all nest inside each other. All the same design, just each one gets a little smaller, like a Russian nesting doll. And so the video is going to appear as though it is three nesting benches, but it actually is going to be one keyboard stand with two other little stands that I could also use. So I say it's a keyboard stand, but in the thumbnail and in the video, I'm going to be talking about, well, this is a bench, and I am going to show.
Clickbait.
Yeah, it's totally clickbait. but I am going to talk about in the video, like how I used this, how I came up with the idea, why I'm doing it the way it is, and it's actually a keyboard stand, but it's good enough for a bench. So if you wanted to make this, you could make a nesting bench. And it's just one of those little life improvement projects. Like, I can't wait for it to be done because it just feels like it's going to make everything easier and more fun. So,
isn't that weird when you have a project like that that you know will immediately make an improvement, but you can't quite get to the project yet?
Yes.
Frustrating because of the video aspect of it?
Yes. So I have a list of, I've actually made the list smaller because there were too many things on my list of things that I wanted to do. But I have a list of like at least 40 projects that I want to make. And I could go to that list at any time. But this one trumped everything because as soon as I came up with the idea, I'm like, this is what I'm excited about right now. This is one of those things that's going to make my life better. Everything on that list can wait. And I want to thank you, Bob, for pushing me in the direction of my project list of going to, what is it called? Notation?
Notion.
Yeah. Mm. I've been a long sidetrack, but maybe this will help somebody. So a long time ago, I was using Airtable, I think based on your recommendation. And then I stopped using it because it was just easier for me to use Apple Notes. And then the project list just got too long and things needed to be prioritized, like what I want to do now, what's a quick video to shoot when I need to do something quickly. And I was thinking about using Notion because everybody uses Notion. But when I was looking into it months ago or a year ago or whatever, it just looked way too complicated. I texted you, Bob, like, what do you use for your organization? And you're like, I use Notion for everything. So I'm like, all right, today I'm going to learn it. And I didn't use anybody else's templates. I just learned to make my own. And it's another one of those life improvement projects. So awesome. Notion's great. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I agree. It's interesting because it's when you look at it for the first time, it's so flexible that you're like, what is this?
Right.
Like, what is this program?
It's overwhelming.
Do? Yeah. But if you pick one thing that you want it to do, you can make it do that one thing. It can just be a document thing, or it can be a table, or it can be a calendar, or it can be all of those things at the same time, which is really confusing. But eventually, you know, you start building in like, oh, well, if I have a list of projects that also show up on a calendar view, then I can sync the calendar with, you know, and like you start connecting all these dots and you're like, wow, this is crazy powerful. Yep. And they keep adding things to it. So well, I'm glad it's working for you. That's cool.
It's so one of the things that stops me from shooting a video is I don't have the materials needed or the design needed to shoot the video now. And one of the things that I've done in Notion is I've prioritized things. So everything has a star rating. So anything with a 5 stars I'm working on now, anything with a 4 or 3 is like, that's going to be in the immediate future. And then within that table, I have a list of supplies needed for that. I'm basically just using like their tag system. And then I've made another table on the homepage that just shows any project that is 2 stars or higher, but then it shows the list of items that I need to buy. Oh, and so I just have a list of things that I need to buy for the next few projects. And it's just right there on the homepage. And hopefully that'll help me get a little bit more organized. Because the way it works, if you don't know, is you can have different databases, different spreadsheets, different tables, and they all interact with each other. And you can pull from one and into the other. So,
yeah. It is very cool. I would show you ours at some point if you're interested. It's crazy.
I bet.
It is crazy. But the way the overlap between all of the different things that you know we have, it's pretty cool because we have a whole video section, we have a product section, we have like marketing stuff, and it's all tied together so that we can kind of, you know, we'll take feedback from people about the courses, and then we put that in there so that when we do updates to the courses, we have all the feedback listed, and you can have that filled out by forms like Google Forms, and not Google Forms, but similar to Google Forms. Anyway, there's lots of cool stuff.
Nice.
Let's see. What am I doing? I'm working on an interesting thing I showed you guys beforehand. It's not going to be out for a few weeks. But it's a 3D printing project that uses some new stuff for me, kind of integration. And it's actually working out really well. I won't show you that thing for anybody watching the video, but I will show you this. I'm starting to work on, for the first time, using these heated inserts. These are like little brass threaded inserts that have you know, kind of a texture on the outside, and you can heat them with a soldering iron and push them into a hole on a 3D printed object, and they melt themselves in. And so to get the fit right, I measured the outside of the thing, and then I 3D printed a little block with that size hole, and then I did four other versions, adding a small offset to the outside of the hole. So I've got different... It's not called tolerance. I got chastised for tolerance. It's called...
Oh.
It's called something else.
Wholeness.
I don't know. It's not tolerance. It's clearance, maybe, I guess is what it is.
Huh.
Yeah. Man, I said tolerance in a video as just like a... You know, that's what I had always called it. When you look this thing up... What did I do with the tolerance tester? When you look up the tolerance tester, it's called the tolerance tester.
Oh, yeah.
And... Man, I got in trouble.
Did you name it the tolerance tester?
No, I just called it what everybody else had called it. And all of the engineers on YouTube ever sent me a message saying, it's not tolerance, it's whatever the word is. And they're right, but I didn't know. Anyway, so I made different size holes with a slight, you know, increase in size or decrease in size so that they get tighter. And so now I have a test where I can... take this thing and heat it and push it down in there and find exactly how big that hole needs to be to accept and hold this inset. You know, so I ordered a little bag of these.
What are those officially called? So I know.
They're just threaded inserts for plastic.
Okay.
Yeah. And actually Drew Witt, it was funny because I ordered these at 2 o'clock in the morning the other night. I woke up, could not go back to sleep, and I'm like, oh wait, the threaded, that's the thing I need for the thing. It was really weird. So, ordered them on Amazon. The next day, Drew Witt posted on his stories that he had ordered like a box of these.
A 10-pound bag.
I got 20. He got like this many of them. And apparently they got seized by customs, and they opened the box and then cut the bag because they thought people were, I don't know. He thinks that they thought people were smuggling something inside this bag of metal. Things. And so it's wrapped up in this, like, you know, immigration, or I don't know what some government agency wrapped it up in their own tape, and he got this thing. I was like, man, I really hope that doesn't happen to mine.
Man, I'm dealing with a customs issue right now myself. For last week, we talked about the crazy tripod that I'm... That's going to be a huge life improvement. It's been stuck in customs in Indianapolis since last Friday. They're asking all kinds of questions like, what is it? What is it used for? How are you going to use it? Company.
Are you the second customer? They must have figured this out by now.
I ordered the thing the day it came out. So they've got to be the company. Edelchrome gave them that information. I gave them that information. It still hasn't been released. I don't know what they think it is, but it should have been here like a week ago. But it's just stuck in customs. Indianapolis
really
customs of all places.
Three-legged robots coming into the U.S.
That's what it is. Yeah.
That's annoying.
Yeah.
Speaking of tripods, though, after we talked about that, I got to thinking more about it, looking on Amazon for like a not one of those, something that's more reasonable for me. And I found a tripod to try out that was really inexpensive. I think it was like $60. And... the reason I got it is because it's listed as a twist lock for each segment of the leg. So each leg has four or five segments. And you twist it about not even a quarter of an inch one direction and it locks in place. You do it the other direction and it unlocks. So you can grab a section and just like snap, push it in, and then turn it the other way and it's locked in place. So I've been playing with this for a couple of days, and it's actually pretty cool. I don't know that it's actually any faster than anything else, but it is really lightweight and thin, and it can go all the way down to the ground, and you can fold. It has the locking joints on the leg to where they can fold up flat, so you can get the camera down really, really far, which was one of the things that I needed to do. But it was pretty inexpensive and has been easier to move around by myself, you know, easier to adjust, so... There are other options that are not robots. Anyway, so I've been working on this 3D printed thing, and it's pretty cool. I'm excited about. I don't know if it's going to be exciting to other people, but it was really exciting last night to print, to design a multi-part product thing, print it in two different, very different materials, embed metal and magnets and stuff into those prints, pull them off the printer, they slide together, and they do exactly what I want them to do. There's room for improvement, for sure, but like that whole process worked. And in the past, I've had problems with everything along that process. I've had problems with designing things incorrectly, just not poorly, but just wrong. I've done that many, many times. I've had trouble printing most basics of plastics, which has now been solved, and like that's out of the way. I've had trouble printing flexibles, which is now out of the way. I've had trouble embedding magnets and inserts into things, and that stuff is all out of the way. And it was just really cool to like, I just did a thing. Mm-hmm. I just had an idea, did all of those steps, and then like last night came down before I went to bed, and I'm like, oh, I should see if those pieces are done. And then like, snap, snap, oh, it works! It totally works! I was standing there going like, there's nobody here to tell that this works. This is really cool.
But, you can tell the world through social media.
Yeah, I guess so. But I don't want to give it away yet. So so that felt pretty cool to get that out of the way. Other than that, I'm kind of preparing for summer. I mean, it is summer for me, and the kids are out of school and stuff. But I've got trips planned. I've got a lot of stuff coming up. Some of my wife and a couple of my boys are leaving town to go on a trip without the rest of us. And so, like, the next month, 2 months is going to be a lot of all over the place. So I'm trying to kind of prepare for that. I'm intentionally not stressing about videos. I do have videos that I'm trying to do, but I am looking ahead at the reality of, can I get these things done and do all the travel? And the reality is probably not. And so I'm just making myself be okay with the fact that this might be kind of a slow summer, which is going to mean I'm not going to make as much money this summer. Okay. I'm also going to go hang out with people that I haven't seen in a long time, and I'm going to travel, and I'm going to spend time with my kids, and I'm going camping, and I'm, you know, I'm doing the stuff that my natural tendency would be like, well, yeah, I have to balance all of that fun with enough of work, but I'm not forcing that balance this summer. I'm trying not to.
That's good. So,
yeah, kind of cool. Looking forward to camping too. We've been talking about taking our kids camping since we had kids. My oldest is 16. So we have not done very well on the camping thing. But these days it's difficult just because they're involved in so many different activities and schedules that overlap and stuff like that. It's really legitimately hard to find a weekend where we're not committed to stuff. And we had this weekend, actually not even a full weekend, we have one night this weekend where we can go camping. And I'm like, told him a few weeks back, that's our night. Don't plan anything. Don't commit to anything. Because if you do, then you're going to have to uncommit to it, because we are finally just going camping, you know. And it's going to be quick, which is probably a good way to introduce people to camping who have not done a lot of camping. You know, they're not stuck out in the woods for a week at a time. But I'm really looking forward to that. Just, I don't know, just being out in the woods. And Kentucky is beautiful. Like, there's parts in eastern Kentucky, Tennessee, that are just gorgeous. Like, people from who are not around here don't understand how beautiful it is. And so I'm looking forward to taking the kids to places that they have not seen that are really close to us, and just, you know, kind of enjoying them. So that's kind of what I'm looking forward to this summer, and that's where my days and preparation and stuff is around a lot of that right now, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
So, we did have a topic. Oh, Jimmy, you're muted.
What were you saying? Yeah, I was going to say I'm going to be driving down to Asheville next Friday.
Oh, that's beautiful down there.
It's going to be really nice. I'm going to work at a boys' camp for the weekend, and I made 60 slingshots for the kids to put together out of plywood, but also a lot of leather scraps for the thing. And then I'm just going to buy some elastic band, like a roll of elastic band. And I asked the camp counselors at Heim, I was like, is this going to, like, yep, this is a real camp. This isn't, we don't, he goes, we don't hold anything back over here. Kids really have fun. And it's like, all right, if you're cool with that. But I'm going down there to build stuff with the kids. But I'm really looking forward to the drive in the summer. And I'm driving just so I can bring some fun tools with me.
Nice. Mm.
So it's going to be nice, yeah.
My grandfather made me a slingshot like that when I was a kid. I've still got it somewhere. But it's, you know, just the traditional U carved out of wood with, I'm pretty sure he took a bicycle inner tube and cut the strip for the, you know, the elastic part of it. And there's a little leather cup that I assume he made. I don't remember. But then he, like, wood-burned my name into it and then, like, shellacked the whole thing, you know? So it's just, it's this cool little, like, I wouldn't trust it now. I'm sure that rubber is probably gone. But, man, I had that thing. I still got it somewhere. But I loved that thing. He made it for me one summer. So that's cool. We did have a topic that you guys came up with.
Was it shop rules? Is that what we were going to talk about?
Shop rules.
Shop rules. So what unique, if at all, shop rules do you guys have? And I'll spit out a couple.
Well, I have a question first before
you end. Go ahead.
Are we thinking rules for other people in our shops, or are these like your, I always do this?
That's a good highlight. Yeah. I think a little of both. A little of both.
Okay.
I mean, of course, absolutely never smoke. There's a couple of neighbors. I live in a town that in whatever, what is it, it's 2024, but about 90% of the people that live here think it's 1978. So they walk right into stores with cigarettes all the time. People will come in all the time like, you weld here? And I'm like, could you please step outside with a cigarette in your mouth? Oh, I'm sorry. So absolutely no cigarettes, not even for a second in my shop. Mm. I mean, that's the big shop. Obviously in the backyard, nobody in my life even smokes cigarettes. But when I'm in the public shop, a lot of people wander in and they're like, they're like flicking their cigarette on my. I'm like, could you get out of here? Like, don't you realize what year it is?
Crazy.
Yeah, and so that's always a big one. That's like a strict run, but I have a lot more shop rules. My life has become much more relaxed now that I'm up here. But in the city, I had some very specific shop rules, like no long things in the garbage can.
I understand this so much.
Ugh. I've classically complained about this on the Fitzall podcast. And in the city where, like, you know, someone comes in your shop like, this is really cool, what do you make? And they're like shaking an iced coffee and then they take one last sip and just throw it in the thing. And like, I'm like, that's like half full. Like, oh, well, I'm like, I am the garbage man. I am everything. I'm the maker and the garbage man. I was like, I'm going to pick that up and drag a trail of coffee out to the street. I'm like, get that out of there. Go rinse it out in the sink and just throw the cup away. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I'm like, yeah, there's no magic ghost that comes down here and empties the garbage. It's me. You get a sneaker full of moldy cold coffee.
Hmm. Oh, can I interrupt right there?
Yeah.
Because of that, this is a thing, warning. I was at our office the other day and I was cleaning out one of the resin printers. So there was old, super old resin in this tank. So I took the tank out, and when I took it, it spilled a little bit. So I had to clean that up. So I had these paper towels with resin on them and a bin of resin. So all of this at the same time, I go over to the garbage can in a bag and I dump all this in the bag. There's other trash in there. So I'm like, it's just going to like mix together. It'll be fine. A week later, Jenny goes to the office to
Did it harden?
No, it didn't. That's the problem. So if she goes over to clean out, like she cleans the bathrooms and takes out the trash and stuff like that. So she was carrying the bag out of the trash can outside to the dumpster, and when she went outside, apparently the sun heated up that resin enough, just walking to the dumpster, that it melted through the bag.
Oh, man.
The UV melted through the bag, got poured onto her leg, and burned her leg.
There you go.
I've never heard of this before, but she had a significant long burn.
Bob, you fired.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. I felt terrible, but I didn't even think about the fact that UV would somehow get through a trash bag and be able to do a reaction like that quickly, although if you think about it, the printers happen pretty quickly. Yeah. So, you know, just a little warning for everybody. If you're going to put that resin in a trash can, put it in a container. Don't just pour it in the can or in the bag because she got burned. She's
fine. I have I have one of the Harvey vacuums. There's these turbo vacuums that Harvey makes, and they have these square bins with these odd shaped bags. So when my vacuum, my dust cleaner fills up, I open it up, and with a bucket, I scoop out the salt. This is crazy. I don't tie the bag off because the bags are these odd square shapes. I don't know where I'm ever going to get another one. So I scoop out the sawdust into a regular garbage bin. So I always have a garbage bin nearby that's half filled with sawdust. And another shop rule is I always have metal garbage cans, so I could put the metal garbage can lid on to prevent fires or to snuff out a fire. God forbid something comes on, you know, the metal won't go on fire, but anything I might snuff out. So when I do have unmixed epoxy or paint or something that's going to cause a problem down the road when I go to empty the trash, I throw it into that bin because it'll immediately suck up. It's like cat litter. So if I have even a drink, if I'm done with a coffee, I pour it into that. And it just soaks into the sawdust. So that's, and I keep that around for that exact purpose. I don't always immediately tie up the bag. When I have any liquidy stuff, it goes into the sawdust bin, which will just be soaked up like cat litter. But those are putting long things in the trash. I don't really share my shop with anybody anymore, so I don't have to worry about that. But someone uses the table saw for like the 4 foot length of a plywood, and then there's like bits and pieces, and then they just take it all, just stick it in the garbage can like the 4 foot chopstick. I'm like, who do you think's going to take that back out and make it fit in the bag? Me. So why can't you do that?
Oh, I didn't know. I thought the garbage fairy comes in and just organizes everything that nobody else thinks of.
But I don't have that problem anymore. Rob is obviously on point, and Aaron was always on point. But in the city, when I shared my shop with guys that were always... I shared my shop with my friend Mike, who his team and him were contractors. So they were always coming all the way downtown from the Upper West Side to cut a piece of molding, and they'd leave like the 3.5 foot extra part in the garbage bin and run right out to go right back up to the house. They would always like come down to do some emergency project. It was really, for him, it was more of a place to cut and rip a little bit, but mostly store stuff. So his guys would always come in. I could tell when they had to make trim, the garbage can would be full with 5 and 6 foot pieces of material. So there you go. I made that point. No long things in the garbage bag.
All of my, so I don't share a shop with anybody. So it's just to help. All my rules are just to help me. And my number one is I don't start a new project unless the shop is 100% clean. So after and I don't usually work on multiple projects at a time. So after one project is done, everything is cleaned up. Shop is, we call it the reset. And then we start a new project. I get so many questions asking, how do you keep your shop so clean? It's just, there's no magic to my shop. It's just...
It's just discipline, really.
Yeah, yeah. It's cleaner than my house.
I'm about 80% when it comes to discipline on keeping it clean.
Yeah.
Bob, anything?
I definitely don't do that. I would like to. I mean, it's a good ideal, but it's not something... I can't just do one thing at a time. I have...
I can't do that.
I can't do two things at a time.
I don't think I do two things at a time well, but I can't stop myself from doing two things at a time. So I think that's it. One rule that I've put in place for myself, because I, you know, when I had a team, they were often in the shop, not necessarily building stuff, but just there were multiple people around. But since then, it's back to just me. And people always complain about losing pencils or losing... tape measures.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that because I do lose pencils a lot because I use black pencils and so they fade into every black surface and they just disappear. But a while back I ended up just making a little tray that was just a wooden, just a little tiny, very shallow wooden tray, and I put it by the miter saw, and its sole purpose is to be where tape measures go. And so there's 10 or 12 of them in this little tray, but I know that that's where they go. So anytime I see a tape measure that I'm not using, that I got left somewhere, I just pick it up, it goes in the tray. And so anytime I need a tape measure, I know that they're, I go to the tray. Just having a place where they're supposed to be, doesn't matter what the place is, where it is, any of that stuff. If you know that it goes there, you know where to look and you know where to put it. And I think that's, you could apply that to any tool, any, you know, anything, but with tape measures, that's a thing that it used to be super annoying to, the only one I can find is the 25-foot tape measure, and I don't need that to measure this little tiny thing. So I just have a bin that is everything.
That reminds me, what I do is when I have a job, I bought these bins when I was making, we're going to have a big influx of ice picks coming. We ordered, I think, 5,000. So there's going to be a lot of ice pick production going on. I ordered the handle with the blade in it. And then the rest of it we make, and I stamp it and prep it and package it. So we're going to be making a lot of those. And I bought, I'm always experimenting with different bins. But on Uline, I bought these fiberglass bins from Uline. They're pretty substantial. And I bought a lot of them, these red bins. And what they're great for is production for that stuff. But for me, more importantly, one of my workflow in the shop is I keep one of those bins, sometimes two, and all the tools I'm using for that project or that week all get dropped into that bin. So if I have a pair of ice grips out and a couple of screwdrivers that I'm using, at the end of every day or at the end of every task, I throw them all into that bin. So that when I get back to the project, I know all the screwdrivers specifically for the screws on this project or the screw gun tips or the set of drills I'm using are all in that bin. So it's almost like a job bin for that week or that little project. If I'm going to do something on the bridge port, I bring one of them and everything that goes in the cutting head, the collet, everything. They're all thrown into that bin. It's like a temporary holding station.
I might steal that.
All the accessories. Because then, you know, what happens is if you don't have that bin, you leave the collet right next to where you answer the phone. And then, like, you go back to your job and you're like, what did I do with the collet?
Yeah.
But the discipline of making sure every time you're done with any accessory for that job gets tossed into that bin. And then it's always very satisfying to be able to take that bin, walk around, okay, put the calipers in this box, put the collet in that box, put the center punch in that hole and in that drawer. So that's a thing that I do a lot, these little job boxes. And sometimes the jobs linger and I keep the job box full of those few tools. And then I get to the point where the project is taking so long, I'm like, all right, I got to retire this project box and put all these tools away. I'll know where they are when I need them again.
That's interesting. Bob mentioned the thing about the tape measures. And of course, I think everybody deals with, like, there's never a tape measure where you needed it. So those, that spring back thing that you put on your belt for your keys, so your keys are always on you. I got a couple of those and one to put right on the table saw, one over by the miter saw. And one time the spring back came.
So you can't walk away with it.
Well, yeah, but it snapped and the thing hit my hand. And I was like, F this, no more. And I got rid of them all. So now I'm just a little bit more disciplined. And I have so many tape measures. They're just all over the place.
You know what I do? Sometimes you got to be careful. I'll leash things. And with this, I have this cord right here. I have these kind of like paracords, the skinny ones, the thin, skinny ones. I'll put a leash on a pair of pliers that are always used on the welder. Or I'll put a leash on a ruler that's always near the CNC machine. Just so I and anybody else, but more specifically me, I don't casually walk away with it and then stick it on the ledge somewhere. There are tools in my life that are gone forever. In fact, my most recent to-do list, moleskin, which is very precious to me, I have no idea where it is. Because I go like this, I go, I'm going to put it right here so I know where it is later. I'll stick it on like that, and I'll grab it later. And then my brain erases, and then I go, I had a moleskin this week. What did I do with that? Moleskin's a little notebook. It's gone. My to-do. So I had to go back to one that had some pages left in it. So I'm using one from 4 years ago until I find the one, which is the reason why it's nice. My to-do list moleskin opens up like a detective book, and in it are all the to-do lists from the various days behind. And it's almost like a journal. I can kind of go through it and see the last previous months of things. So, yeah. What I do now is I open both doors in the barn. Just talk about cleaning. In the summer, this is great. I open all the doors up and I just blow out with a leaf blower.
I would like to do that at my shop at some point.
Yeah, that's great. I just don't know. On like kind of a breezy day, I open both big giant barn doors, hit everything, the walls, any shelf, and I just do it. I'll spend like an hour. I do it. This stuff resettles and then I get rid of a lot of the dust, which is great.
Talking about the tape measure thing, I just realized that I do the opposite with a different tool. So with calipers, instead of having a single place with calipers, I realized that I use calipers in basically three places every time. So I have these on my desk for when I'm doing fusion work. I'll measure something right here, you know. And then at the electronic station when I'm doing that type of work, I almost always need calipers, and then at the Bridgeport. And so, or in the at the lathe in Bridgeport, that area. So I ended up just buying multiple sets of them, and they're dedicated to those places. And I don't need to pick them up. I guess I could accidentally carry them around, but they're always something that I use, and then I sit down to put a number in, or like adjust a DRO or something like that. And so I just got to where these are the ones that stay on the desk. Yeah, I mean,
we're all showing our desk calipers, but you see what I do with mine? See what I do with mine?
No.
The battery's out.
You put the battery?
I pull the battery out.
Smart.
Because that's every smart. Time you, the only time you really need it is when the battery's like, I'm done.
Yes.
You waited too long to use goodness. Me. I'm sorry, I'm done.
Yes. Oh, mine won't come on right now. Mine.
See? That's what
happens. Did I tell you guys about these, the Bluetooth ones?
Yeah.
I told you about
that. Yeah, you said that. Yeah, that sends in information as you need it.
Crazy. Anyway, so I still have another pair here that were my old non-Bluetooth ones. Junk.
I do have a question. Does anybody, like, I feel like all the calipers that I have, like, this one, I know for certain the battery is not dead, but the on-off switch, there, it just came on. It's screwed up. Something is messed up about this. And it feels like every pair of calipers that I have just stinks. And the last pair I bought was... like the highest rated one on Amazon, and it's worked great. But send me messages, DM me, slide into my DMs. Let me know what the best pair of calipers that I can buy. I want to know.
They're going to be expensive.
Somebody's Starrett, gonna be like, I have a digital Starrett set that's pretty good, but the batteries always go on all of them.
Yeah.
You
just got to. So I just pop the if I know I'm not going to use it for 2 or 3 weeks, I just pop the battery out and just tape it to the handle.
It's actually, I'm sure that there are rechargeable ones. I've just never looked for it. But
Starrett has a few. I have a couple.
It is surprising that these don't have a lithium ion battery and then a USB charger right there.
Yes.
So you could just like plug them in when you're not using them. I mean, I'm sure that they're out there.
But. That's what I'm looking for after the show. USB chargeable calipers.
The other thing that with stuff like that is one of my rules is that if I get down to where I have fewer than like one or two replacement batteries for something, I will buy a set of them. And so I have a box, actually these bins right behind me here. One of those is button batteries. And it is every size of button battery for those, for smart home devices, for our thermometers for the kids. Like all of those things use different buttons. And I buy them in packs of 10 or 20 from Amazon, and I just keep them in there. So anytime that one of those things dies, I know exactly where to go to get the battery because I know I've got them. And if I pull it out and there's only one left, I order another set of 10. And so I always have those things around. But another little organization thing, and I guess this is the same as the tape measure thing, now that I think about it. But I found that just having a little thing in front of my keyboard gives me a place. I know that right here there's, it's ironically, there's not a pencil there right now. But there's always a Sharpie, a pencil, and a pen right here. Somehow the pencil got replaced with a whiteboard marker. But right here in front of my keyboard, there's always those three things. There are always clean cards. There are cards with full, like with video on them. And there's a tolerance tester. And that sits right there. So that when I'm at my desk, I know I've always got a pencil. And when I'm done with the pencil, it always goes back eventually into that little spot. Just having like a home and not even being like obsessive about it in any way. I don't mean that. But just knowing where to look for a thing. Yeah. I mean, well, and before that bin was this. I had this random piece of wood that I drilled holes in that was on my desk that's still there. Just having a place where you know to find the things that you're, even an area, just makes it a lot easier to put things away and to find the things when you need them.
Bob, as a guitar player, you may experience this, but we always lose guitar picks. They just, lyric pencils, they just go. So I have this little bin. There are at least 100 guitar picks in here. And it's there's a cross by Grandpa and various other little things, but there are at least 100 guitar picks in there, so I always have a guitar pick by my desk.
Now, just a little offside question. Do you play the same pick? I saw different picks in there, but do you play the same thickness, or do you like to play different?
No, I like the same thickness. Yeah. There are other picks in there because sometimes, like, I actually, people sent me some. Some came with my, the last time I bought a guitar, but I always use the same picks. This is so nerdy, except when I play bass. I got some of these rubber picks. They're really thick. And they're rubbery. Oh, and they have a different tone when you play the bass. It's almost like I can't do I can't play bass with my fingers. I'm a pick player because I'm not a bass player. And this has more of a finger style over a pick because it doesn't make that percussive plucky sound. So, but other than that.
Yeah, cool. I've used the felt picks for bass.
And there's actually one in there too. And I just don't like how it feels. It feels gross to me. and while we're on the subject of pencil holders, I hijack your conversation. But this was an old project. This is,
I remember.
Yeah, Bubinga. You can't see this, but this was supposed to be a segmented Bubinga pencil holder, and I just wanted to melt a couple of crayons around the top so it looked like there was colorful stuff dripping over the Bubinga. It went totally wrong, so I covered all the Bubinga with melted crayon and epoxy. So on the inside, it's absolutely beautiful, but in the outside is this colorful vomit.
It's like a lava.
Yeah. colorful vomit.
All right, what are some more of your shop rules? I'm realizing I don't actually have that many, so I would like to hear more.
Another shop thing when it comes to trash is every time I pull a bag out, there should always be another bag underneath it inside the trash bin. So anywhere I'm in the shop. So when I get a whole new roll of trash bags, I'll pull out five of it at a time and throw them underneath the bag that's in the bin.
I noticed that in our kitchen so that our kids will put a bag back in the can.
Yeah, in my kitchen. All the garbage bins have that, exactly. But it's funny. I've been to, for instance, George. I'm going to mute and cough. Hold on.
Mute and cough.
I was in George Von Driska's shop a couple times. I do projects with him from time to time on the Woodworkers Guild. And he has five trash bins with no liners. He doesn't care what he throws in there. He could throw a coffee in there, whatever, because he has a big dumpster and everything just goes outside and just dumped in the dumpster. And I was like, no liners? He's like, nope, we don't need them. It's interesting. I have to have a liner in my garbage. Like if I throw something into the garbage, even if it's wood or sawdust and there's no liner, it drives me crazy. So I always have to have liners in my bags. At the end of every day, typically, because you could lose track if you have a lot of battery-operated tools, like I've gotten so many over the years, you have seven screw guns out for different tips and all the different types of things that you use them for. And at the end of the day, just so I can leave the shop in peace, I bring them all together and put them on one section or on the floor. Like I'll pick a spot on the floor of the shop. Anything with a battery on it goes there. If I'm feeling inclined, at the end of the day, I'll check them and see which ones need to be charged. Because if it's a project going on, I don't put them all away just yet. But I collect them all. Because I'll pick them up and put them near here, and then they'll be on. So I just do a scan of the whole shop and put all my battery-operated tools in one pile. And so I know where they are the next day. And at the end of every day, I put drill bits away. That's really important. Because if you're using a certain size drill bit, at the end of every day, I make sure that all the drill bit indexes are full. And there's nothing missing. If there's something missing, I have to upset. I can't go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And what I did, when I had more people hanging around the shop more often for the last several years, this is an interesting thing. It occurred to me one day, all the quarter-inch drill bits were broken. All the 3/8 drill bits out of all the various drill indexes were broken. So I went online, all these various sizes that get used a lot, and I bought packs of quarter-inch, packs of 3/8, packs of 1/8, packs of half inch. So I have 30 or 40 of each of those bits that get used most often. So if I notice in the drill index something's either worn out, broken, or missing, most likely it's one of those few sizes, and I go and I just drop one in. Sometimes I find a random drill bit in the shop and I can't figure out where it goes, and then I can't go to sleep. I don't know what to do because everything's full but there's a drill bit, and I have to try and figure out. I'll go through, look through the video cameras to see if somebody walked in and dropped a drill bit.
I'm joking. That's probably what happened.
No, I'm joking. But when you find a drill bit and there's nowhere for it to go, you just obsess about it. And you're like, I'm just going to leave it right here in case the person who left it decides they want to put it away where it really came from.
Your buddy shows up. Hey, man, I lost a drill bit. Have you seen one around?
You have a 5/16 drill bit. I've been really looking all over for it. It was in my pocket.
It was my grandfather's.
By the way, 5/16 is another size I buy a lot of. I have a bunch of those too. Mm.
Interesting. All right, David, what you got?
I don't have too many more that I can think of. Like a lot of organizational stuff, like this drawer only has this stuff. Like every place, everything has its home, which is probably pretty normal for a lot of people. But batteries, whether it's camera batteries or tool batteries, they don't get piled up by the charger. There always has to be a battery, even if it's weak, it has to be a battery on the tool or in the camera so I could do something quickly. Like, and this is just because there's somebody else in my shop helping me out, my brother. And at first, he would just, like, at the end of the day, pile all the batteries up by the battery charger so you could just swap them out. One gets charged and the next one can go on there. Like, no. I don't care how weak the battery is. It's got to be on the tool. It's got to be in the camera so I could hit record or just screw in this little thing. And it's just other just little nitpicky things for me.
One thing that you just reminded me, a lot of friends come and use my welders. And I say, they're like, can I use your welders? Like, the only rule is that when you're done welding, even if you're going to be done welding to answer a phone call, turn the gas off.
Mm, yep.
If you forget to turn the gas off, it could bleed out, and then I have no gas for when I need it. And I'm obsessive. Like, even when friends are there and I notice they're not doing it, I'll do it for them, and then they'll go to weld and be like, what happened? I'm like, oh, I turned the gas off because you weren't paying close enough attention. I had to obsess for you.
Yeah.
And that's really important to me. I had a friend once use my shop and left the gas open, and then I had an emergency project the next day, so I was like,
yeah, I've run out of gas enough times that on my own because of my fault that, yes, that's a pretty big deal.
And that is the most gut-wrenching feeling when you know you have to make something or there's an emergency repair and you go to turn the gas on that you haven't used in a week and it's already open. You're like, oh, and you get a gut punch. And then you like slowly turn the regulator around. You're like, oh, it's full. This connection doesn't have any leaks this time.
You know what I always forget to do is when I go to take the bottle back to get a new bottle, I forget the stupid little cap on top.
Screw cap.
And they charge me $10 or whatever it is. And so I have extra of those in a cabinet in the garage. And I
don't know why. I have them everywhere. Like, I've always, they just accumulate here for the same reason somebody in my world must have brought bottles back without the caps. I have like 10 or 15 extra ones all around. Hmm. And either that or they just have 10 or 15 bottles that need the caps that I'm not aware of. But for some reason, I have the same problem where I have too many.
Back to the battery thing real quick. So I don't do that, what you're talking about with tools, because I use all DeWalt stuff, so I just have a bunch of batteries. So there's always batteries on tools and on the chargers. And anytime I take one off the charger, I'll replace it with one that has been in use. So there's always something charging. But with the camera batteries, because, you know, I've got camera and the monitor that I use have different batteries, and then the microphones charge through USB. So I have a bunch of batteries for the camera and the monitor and multiple chargers for both of those things. So I can charge two or four at a time. But what I ended up doing was 3D printing some little slot, like trays, for the batteries to stack in. And so I have dead and undead. That's what I call them. And so the ones that have been charged go in the undead because they're not dead anymore. I thought it was funny. And so I have these two slots next to the chargers that anytime I bring a battery back, I take the charged ones off of the charger, put them in the undead slots, and then take things out of the dead slot and put them on the charger. So there's this like shuffle that happens every single time I bring something back. So there's always something charged and something charging. And then there's a stack of dead ones that need to eventually move to the charger.
Maybe I'm weird, but I don't have extra batteries. So
what?
No. I have extra batteries, but I only have enough that fill the chargers and the cameras. There's
a pile of batteries.
There's never a battery that doesn't if I have an extra battery
in the wild,
I just have to go get another charger because it's either on a charger or in a tool. That's
so. Is that like you intentionally do that, or that's the situation?
I just realized that that's my situation. So, camera batteries go quicker than anything.
Yeah.
That's what I have with the camera battery. There's always one on charge, so I have two. One's in or on the charge.
We have three cameras. All three cameras use the same battery, and so we have four extra batteries. So there are four charging slots. If I had five extra batteries, I would have, and I just realized this, and maybe this is just me, but there's nothing ever floating. Yeah. Hmm.
I have a pile of tool batteries, and me and Dave Welder years ago started this etiquette, and I still do it now that I'm alone. Dead batteries are face upside down. Charged batteries sit on their butt. So if it's on the screw gun and you put the screw gun down, but you take the screw gun away, that position of the battery is charged. When it's upside down, it's dead. So on a job site, I do the same thing. You know, Mike, who knows who works with me, if there's a couple of tools sitting around, any batteries that are sitting alone, if they're upside down, they're dead. So at a quick glance, you know what's dead, you know what's good. This is something that I still do it with myself, even though it's just me. I'll pull the battery off if it's dead before I get a chance to put it on the charger, which is on the other side of the room, and it's sitting near the job I'm working on. I turn it upside down if I happen to have a good charge one nearby. And I do it, too, with the Ring camera batteries for the house. I have four extra Ring camera batteries because I have about 35 Ring cameras in the house. I don't have that many. That was a joke. But
I believed you.
I have four extra batteries. I have Ring and I have a Google Home. So I have five Google Home cameras and I have about 10 Ring cameras throughout the property.
They're not all really inefficient. Have two different camera systems.
No, I'm telling you. I was walking through Home Depot and I went to go buy like an extra battery. Now I have four batteries. So it's in the kitchen. If they're face up, if they're on one side, they're charging. If they're over, they're waiting to be charged. And that's just my system. But I was going to get another Ring camera and I was like, is it me or do the Ring cameras literally start charging when the event is over? Every single time. I'm like, I see like, you know, a dead chicken in the driveway. And I'm like, let me see what that is. And it's like nothing, nothing, nothing. And then there's a dead chicken. It like films the chicken dead laying in the driveway. That's never happened, but I'm just using that as an extreme example. Anytime there's an event or like I'm looking at my porch, I want to see, when did the FedEx guy get here? All I see is like, the FedEx package is just on the porch. But there was a human being unloading the package. And so I compare the Google Home cameras, and everyone's going to say, oh, you got to change the settings. The settings are all set to what they're supposed to be. The plugged-in ones seem to record a lot. When there's the battery one, even though you set it to the, like, I want to kill the battery in a day, I don't care. You set it to that setting, it still only charges. It's like... Yeah. The camera's watching a FedEx guy pull up and unload three giant boxes, and he goes, okay, he's getting in his car. Okay, I'll charge now. I'll record now. And then the battery comes, and then like I'll go to look, and it's like I see the FedEx truck like zooming out of the back of the driveway and a giant box in my thing. So I got both of them to compare. And even though I have less Google Home cameras, they always record the event.
Huh.
And I don't have to do some save the extra battery setting. What, right out of the box, plugged into the wall or stuck up on the magnet, they tend to record the event much more often. So if you come to my side house, you're going to be recorded by seven cameras and only one of them is going to pick you up. If you leave an envelope on the porch, that'll get filmed. You getting out of your car and tap dancing on my side step is not going to get recorded. So that's the reason why.
I think that's a pretty good place to wrap the show up. What do you think?
I got one more thing to add. So I have a poster in my shop, and it's called Shop Rules. And it's not my poster. I did not come up with these rules. It's from an artist named Karina Kent. And I refer to number four all the time, which her number four rule was consider everything an experiment, which is like how I live my life.
That's a great
idea. And this poster of Shop Rules inspired me to come up with my own Shop Rules that is going to be a poster. I've been working on this for, I don't know, 2 years. My Patreon members know about it. I've listed the rules in my Discord. We've discussed them, and it's a video that I want to make, and I want to come up with my own shop rules, although I'm borrowing number four from Karita Kent. But I just want to say, so it's going to be a future video where I screen print posters with these rules, and they're more philosophical, like ways to live by, and I'm still refining it, and the language needs to be cleaned up a little bit on it. But Jimmy, at the beginning of before we hit record, said I want to do a shop rules poster. And then I interrupted you, and I'm like, no, I've been working on this for a long time. And he's like, oh yeah, well, I'll give that video to you. And then I was like, no. Don't not make the video, because I've been planning on this video for 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it probably would be just a printing press project.
Yeah.
More than likely a real.
And Bob's like, you guys should both release those videos around the same time, which we should. Yeah. So,
yeah. So I got to put no long things in the garbage.
No long things in the garbage, which is a great rule to live by. So, yes.
Yeah, so I'll work on it. Like I said to you guys earlier, I was trying to write 10 funny jokes, and I was having a hard time. I got a couple, but... Yeah. This should be some serious ones mixed in there. like yours are good. You sent them along. They're really good. I just sent a Ring camera that did pick up something of me falling over the tongue of my trailer the other day when I was stretch wrapping it. I posted it on. And like, look where my Ring camera is. It's behind the screen, behind the corner of a statue that's outside my shop. But it did.
But it caught you.
Yeah. And I knew the camera was there, and I had, on the slight chance it actually recorded me, I like stood up and looked at the camera. I was like, yeah. I went right back to I was stretch wrapping around the little cart and backwards, walking backwards, and I tripped right over the trailer tongue, right onto my back.
All right, I'm watching. Oh, there. Oh, yeah, you ate it. You ate it good.
Yeah, I ate it right.
Yep, and you look right at the camera and wave. Nice.
It's like what are the offhanded chance that the battery's not dead in that? It's like, this could be funny.
All right. Well, what do you guys have to recommend this week?
Talking about calipers, I opened my phone to look for his actual thing. Dies in every film. Do you guys know? I'm going to say his name wrong, so I want to make sure I read it. He has an unusual. Dies in every film. Honor Colger. I'll send you guys one of his things. He's one of the best Instagram editors. I don't even know if he has a YouTube channel. He must, but yeah, he has his website and channel. His Instagram reels are so funny. Look up Dies in Every Film. He's been on Jeff Fader's podcast a lot. That's how I first found out about him. He's in Europe. I think he's in England. And he's like an ex-soldier in the Royal Army, I think. And also he's a MMA fighter. But he makes knives, and he is so funny. He's got an amazing sense of humor. And in his last video, he hammers a nail in with his calipers, because people say he's abusive to his calipers. So he hammers a nail in with it. Makes me laugh. And then in the end, he just throws them over his shoulder and gives the finger to the camera for all the commenters.
Nice.
It's really, really, because he uses them as a scribe, and everyone's like, you can't use calipers as a scribe.
Watch me.
Hi, mine is an Instagram channel. Formerly of Hendrix Design, he just recently changed it to Lofted Goods, and he's an amazing product designer. He comes up with really elegant and beautiful CNC and 3D printed things, and he's been doing these planners for a while now, and they're just brilliantly designed, and they look absolutely beautiful. Brian Hendricks of Lofted Goods.
Cool. Man, I'm looking here. I really don't have one. Every time I don't have one, I realize how little time I've spent watching anything. You know, because like I didn't come across anything new or anything that's really has caught my attention. Somebody recommended, after we were talking about tripods last week, Alexander Chappelle, I think you say his last name. I'm not exactly sure. We've all seen his videos, I think, where he makes like all sorts of crazy stuff for his shop and everything. He 3D printed a camera arm, and it's one of those that like has like a vertical piece and then a cross member. And so the whole thing slides up and down, the arm slides up and down, and then the camera slides out on that. And it's all aluminum extrusion and 3D printed. And somebody recommended that. And I'd seen it before, but I went back and watched part of it again. And it's a very cool project. So I'll put that in there in case anybody wants to see it. Mm-hmm. I should probably find more new things to watch, though. That's something that I don't do very often. So, you all right there, Jimmy?
I didn't realize I was on mute. This is what I do when I'm muted.
Oh, great.
To myself.
Well, I guess that's it. You guys got anything else?
Thank you.
Look what I found last night. This is an honor of you, Bob.
Whoa, where'd you get that?
I found it in there's little smatterings of Aaron's stuff still around the shop, and this was in a package from 10 years ago. And one of Aaron's things, so I took it out of the package. It is a thumb drive in the shape of a stormtrooper, but like a little cartoony, big-headed stormtrooper. But it's a thumb drive. It was brand new in the package. It's like, I'm going to keep that on my desk. It's cool. Cute. Thumb drive. Yeah. Well, only the best projects will go on that thumb drive.
There you go.
That's it.
Cool. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Catch you next time.
Love you guys.